Hello and welcome to another episode of The Voice of Apache. My name is Rich Bowen, and for the last 20 years or so, I've been doing these interviews with a variety of projects at the Apache Software Foundation. So it's a real pleasure to do an interview with a project that is turning 20 this week. In fact, on the 17th of December, 2003, the board made the Apache Logging Services project a top-level project. So it's almost exactly 20 years ago. And I have the privilege of having three PMC members here with me, Christian, Piotr, and Ralph, representing the PMC. So thank you all for joining me.
Thank you, Rich. It's a pleasure.
So we have a number of things that we want to discuss here. Let's start with just looking back. So looking back at the very beginning of the project, looking back at the minutes from that board meeting, are any of the folks that were there at the beginning, are they still involved?
I was not. Christian might have been, but I don't think so.
There. So no, it's Seki Gushu and Jacob Kyome, Yov Shapira, Paul Smith, and Mark Womack. So I recognize a few of these names from the early days, but I haven't heard from any of these folks for a long time.
Yeah, several of them I crossed paths with when I first joined. Christian was there before me.
Okay. So, Christian, you've been with the project the longest. Tell us about some of the changes that have happened over the years.
Well, so one of the changes that definitely happened over the years was that the community itself, it has become, how should I say this, a lot nicer. So, so many great people joined after I joined, and we have really grown together, and we've really formed, a team, a real community in the best Apache sense. So I think that we are, more inclusive, more innovating than ever before. And this is actually, I think, because Rolf at some point joined this project and he started researching on Log4j 2. And this was a huge milestone in changing the direction of this project. So suddenly, when he started with 2x, suddenly many more people joined and the community grew, and it was really great to see that and to experience that. And well, so I think that was my best takeaway.
If you don't mind me adding something there, when Christian says nicer, I hesitate to put it that way. I went back and I looked at both the dev list and the PMC list as I was joining the project and starting my work. And I could see that there was a disconnect on how to move forward. Everyone pretty much agreed Log4j 1 was done. Cheeky decided to move out of the project, and there were attempts to move forward with a 1.3 release that never really moved anywhere. And so what I was attempting to do was just create something new. And I went and I created enough of a framework that people could talk about it, build on it. I didn't want to start from scratch in public because then it would have been nothing but a debate. So I gave them enough that was there that we could then start talking about. I committed to an experimental branch, and then people joined on that, and it gave him a positive direction to move in. That was what he's talking about when he means nicer. It was not so much about arguing about how to fix the old problems.
Right. Thank you. it's right. So it we got some spin, so to say. We really, worked together, collaborated, and we have seen that when this new code base came in, that we have something new, something we want to follow up. And then people just joined, they all worked together and everything grew.
And, you know, if I might offer a little bit of as an outsider's perspective, one of the things that I observed about this project early on, it was one of the first projects where the project spanned multiple languages. It was interesting because in those early days, there was a lot of rivalry between languages that wasn't friendly rivalry, you know, and people would, there would be extended flame wars about this sort of topic. And seeing this project working across language barriers, of course, I'm talking programming languages here, to do things that that provided a standardized interface across multiple languages was really kind of cool. And it wasn't something that I saw happening in a lot of other communities.
When I joined, some of those other languages had started to lack people's involvement. That was a big challenge. And one of them didn't make it, the PHP project. But the others, we did manage over time to get new committers in, and they're, you know, they're actually making a lot more progress than they were years ago. What's unfortunate, and it would have been really nice, is if they all strove to be as common as possible in terms of both configuration style and the kinds of things that they did in the way they worked. We had a conversation the other day about markers and the fact that the others don't even know what a marker is. And that's kind of unfortunate. And in the future, I'd really kind of like to see them become more alike in that sense, as much as possible. Of course, you're always going to have language differences. I've also talked about supporting Go because Go doesn't really have any good logging frameworks. It has lots of decent logging frameworks, but none of them are very effective that I've seen. So, but we just haven't had the resources to actually work on it.
That's right. And as one of the persons who was behind a lot for PHP, I actually tried to bring it out from the incubator to the logging services project again, and I succeeded with that. So we brought it in there, and what I experienced was that back then, a Log4PHP was basically pretty, you know, it was like a separated product. So separate communities, separate people, and we tried to talk to each other, but we did not really do it. These days, it's all different. I see there is currently some efforts in releasing a new Kotlin version. So people just, you know, from other branches, like from Log4j, they just go over and help the Kotlin people to release this. And I think this collaboration, this has, you know, improved by a lot over the years since 2009, when we started with Log4PHP, an example.
Now, in last month's board meeting, in the November 2023 board meeting, the Flume project became part of the logging services project. Tell us a little bit about that. What led to that? And how do you see that going forward?
I'm actually really excited about it. I was actually a mentor for Flume in the incubator. Back then it was backed by Cloudera, and there were a lot of sharp people working on it. But then Cloudera pulled the plug on it, and all of their people pretty much disappeared. There's a few that are still left in who are minorly involved, but I, for the past couple of years, have been the only one committing to it because I actually use it in my job at work. It's a really, really nice tool, but it still has a lot of room for improvement. And I have had many discussions with Matt Sicker, and he has some really interesting ideas, and he has done some things with Log4j that would be equally applicable to Flume. Plus, we've made some advancements with the build process we have for Log4j, all of which could equally apply to Flume. And Flume, you know, primarily is it competes with things like FluentD, FluentBit, Logstash, but it also, I mean, I'm not using it to move log files. I'm using it to move other kinds of data where I need guaranteed delivery, reliability, and speed. And it succeeds really, really well for that, but it also can move log data as well. Now, if you're doing audit logging, you definitely would want to consider Flume for that because of its really reliability aspects of it. For just moving debug logging into Elk, there are other solutions. You don't necessarily need Flume. It's a little more heavyweight than you probably would require. But there is a nice place for Flume to fit in. And we've supported Flume in the way of a Flume appender for years. So to bring it in, I think it gave it more stability in terms of having a strong PMC and being able to get releases done. It gave us the ability to better implement the tooling we were creating, as well as to start leveraging some of the internals that we had been creating in Log4j. That gives me a really lot of excitement in it.
Yeah, and I actually love that we have even more great products on the front page on the homepage. Because Flume, when I saw it first, it was like basically Ralph was excited about it, and then I've seen Matt was excited about it, and then looked at it, and I was not understanding a single thing. But then I read again, and for some reason, I think it could be, or it is probably a great product, and it can grow even faster with this PMC and with the people who are, you know, backing it and developing it.
Now, I'm sure by this point, you're tired of talking about Log4Shell, but I want to ask some questions about what you've done as a result of that. What good things have come out of that experience? And you know, in particular, I want to hear about the improvements that have been made to your process and your funding that have been a result of that.
So I'm one of the two people involved in the revamp of the release process. I actually wasn't there for Log4Shell. I joined shortly after, because I had low self-preservation instinct, so I ran to the fire instead of fleeing. But what they told me is that behind the curtains, when Log4Shell hit, releases were really, really slow. It took Ralph an entire day to compile and to prepare a release. So what we did is we automated everything. So we moved the compilation, the release process from the machine of the developer to the cloud. Now GitHub Actions does everything, checks the version number, checks the output timestamp, releases Maven artifacts, source artifacts. Basically, if we have another problem and we are all on vacation, we can do it from a tablet or a phone. So that's the advantage. We improved testing. Tests before failed randomly. Now they are quite stable in something like half an hour, 40 minutes, we can have a new release. If we have the patch, in a couple of hours, we can deliver a new version.
I think some of the things that came out of that users would probably be interested in are that prior to that, we had leaned in the way of adding stuff into the Log4j core with the idea that users only wanted one jar file. But out of that, it became quite apparent users wanted the ability to have better control of the features they were included. Or, you know, so in Log4j 2.x, we added things like system properties to be able to limit that. But in our new 3.0 that we're working on, we have split out a lot of the core into their own modules so that not only do you have to include a jar, you also have to include a system property to enable things like JNDI and scripting, things that could potentially be dangerous in your environment. And with the advantage of that, they do slim down the core jar slightly. We still have room to improve on that. And so we do have things on the roadmap that we still want to split out that aren't quite there yet. But we will be doing them over time. And that's where we really heard from what the users expected and wanted from us. As far as Log4j shell itself goes, I never am afraid to talk about it. I mean, obviously it was a horrible bug, but it also was a really simple set of bugs, two simple bugs that together turned into something horrible. And I feel terrible about the fact that it happened, but I also feel like it could have happened to anybody. So in that regard, I'm very thankful it did, because I really think it changed the project in a very, very positive way.
Yeah, that's right. And to add on that, to think on the positive things of this, is that Log4Shell actually brought us Piotr to the team, because he got interested after this thing hit us, so our community grew. And not only that, so many, many people came, looked at our code base and told us what could we improve. So this is probably the best security a project can have. Like 100 people are suddenly interested, or 1,000 people. They all look at your code base, they all check for your security issues. So how can we make Log4j any more secure than with these tons of security reviews? Also, we have now implemented things like SBOM and VDR, which is becoming some kind of sort of a security standard. And Piotr and Volkan, the member of our team, actually implemented this. And I mean, this is a lot of work, really. It's a lot of work and a lot of research, because so many things are still, you know, not known and not implemented yet. So how did we receive that? So that was because after Log4Shell, I got a call from a friend, and he said, "Do you know the STF fund?" And I said, "No, I don't know it." And he said, "Then, yeah, well, so this is a government fund, and they are funding projects, open source projects, which are critical infrastructure, or considered critical." And I said, "Yeah, okay, that's very nice." And then he said, "Okay, do you even know that this fund only exists because of Log4j?" And I said, "No, I did not know." And then he asked me, "Why are you actually not receive any money out of it?" And so I don't know, probably I never heard, and they never asked. And that was basically the time when I actually reached out to them. And today I'm really excited that they agreed to give us some funding. I offered it to the whole PMC, but only three of us were able to take this funding. And now with a little bit of money in back, we are able to implement all these things like SBOM and VDR, which are complicated and sometimes even almost impossible, I would say, to implement for somebody who does it in just spare time. So this is also something, I think, which changed, that people now realize how important these open source projects are. And now they're starting to, you know, think about funding, or what happens when there is a security issue like Log4Shell and the original developer is just not at home or just does not care. So I think this is also a very, very good benefit of using Apache software, because there is always many people around who are willing to fix these bugs and working together. So I think it's so much better than just using projects which are developed, an example, by just one person or so. So now with this funding, we are even able to make it more secure.
Yeah, with SBOM, we have a much better view of which dependency do we have. So Log4j core, as Ralph explained, in 3.x should only have one dependency, Java base. So if a vulnerability is exploitable in Log4j core, it will be our own vulnerabilities or Java's. But if we look at other appenders, our optional modules, dependencies are really, really huge. We, for example, the Flume appender, we can go down 5-6 levels, and without SBOM we wouldn't even know that there was a CVE against a dependency of a dependency of a dependency. So we wouldn't even check if it affects us. So splitting Log4j core into parts and checking with the information we get from the SBOM vulnerabilities will make less exploitable vulnerabilities, and if there are vulnerabilities, people can just remove the module that's vulnerable and go on with their life.
Yeah, so these kind of things, actually, even when Log4Shell happened, which made me very, very sad and very, very shocked, but when I listened to Piotr being excited about these kind of things and what we were able to do with some funding, I'm super positive about the future of Log4j and Flume and all the sub-projects we are maintaining, because we have people around, we have a little bit of money around, we have the strong backing of the Apache Software Foundation. So what could go wrong? So personally, I would not use any other logging framework, even when we have that history with Log4Shell. Yeah, future is bright, I guess.
So let's talk a little bit about the future now. It feels unusual in open source for a project to have been around for 20 years and still be innovating, still be doing interesting things. And you're one of those projects, so that's exciting. Tell us what is coming in the near future and what you have envisioned for the longer future.
The near future is 3.x. That was originally slated with Java 9 to support JPMS. It's way overdue for JPMS. I mean, Java 9's long gone, but that's primarily because JPMS was very immature in the beginning. Not JPMS itself, but the world around JPMS. We couldn't make much progress in moving forward because the dependencies we had weren't JPMS compatible. They weren't automatic modules or anything. The tooling was very poor. Today, we have much better tooling. Pretty much all the dependencies we have, at least to the minimal degree, support JPMS. So we're able to actually make much better progress against that. And again, I talked about the modularization. That partly was due to JPMS because it's sort of a requirement that when you start exposing things, that did create a lot of pain for us, because how you create unit tests and create test modules, test frameworks, is completely different with when you're talking about the module path, especially since we use Maven, and Maven has built-in assumptions about how it's going to work based upon whether it finds a module info file or not. So those were all pain points. And then we've already talked about some of the other benefits that you're getting. Now, in addition, everything's based on the service loader because of JPMS. In Log4j 2.x, we use a custom file for loading our plugins. In Log4j 3, those were converted into classes that are loaded via service loader. We're using service loader for a lot more things, and we have separated out our plugin mechanism into its own jar file. It's separate from the core. Potentially, it could be used outside of Log4j by other people if they wanted to. And then that plugin system also has been enhanced to do dependency injection, because we found some areas there that were very cumbersome for us in terms of binding things together. Like we were having to pass our logger context all around the place, and it was a mess. We enhanced property support so that you can have, if you have multiple applications running in a Tomcat, for example, each can have their own set of Log4j properties to configure them. One of the things I can think of is in the future that we're going to get hit by is the thread context is based on the thread locals. Well, they have come up with, what is it, scoped variables? Those aren't going to play very nicely with the thread context, you know, with the fast threading that they're talking, lightweight threads they're implementing. Thread locals will still work, but I think we're going to have to investigate and other alternative ways of doing that that are lighter weight than using thread locals. But we haven't really started on that yet. So those are some of the areas I can think of. The fact that the JDK is continually innovating kind of necessitates the fact that we have to innovate along with it.
Yeah, we are also planning native support for GraalVM. These are also problems with the way we use Reflection. GraalVM doesn't like Reflection too much. So probably not for 3.x, but maybe 3.1.x. You'll be able to compile an executable, a native executable that runs logging.
Yeah, I'm very surprised nobody mentioned our efforts that we try to make our API more visible, because we have our API inside the core and everybody is using log4j like, oh, this is a single product. But in fact, it's actually two products, and I think that's at least what excites me. We are separating out the real API from the log4j product more and more, and trying to get various implementation for it, probably, I don't know, but maybe it will happen. And so this is, I think, also very exciting, and because it gives us a lot of opportunities.
I do want to say that Cheeky's work, when he split off from log4j1 and created SLF4j and logback, although I couldn't use those frameworks, and the reason I started working on log4j2, some of the ideas he had there were good. And the fact that he completely separated the API and created SLF4j and created logback separately, that was a good idea, which is why we've done that since day one. It's just that we haven't advertised it very well at all over the years that our API is completely separate. And that's a mistake we intend to change very, very soon.
I'm pretty much excited about this, but I'm also excited about one more thing, because we started to communicate better with our users and we now have a blog. So I think everything we are doing or innovating or discussing will also be published on this blog. And if anyone is interested in these kind of things, you can either subscribe to the mailing list or at least read the blog and then chime into these discussions. Also, we have experimenting with GitHub discussions, so where users can ask these kind of questions or let us know if they need a specific feature or have a desire for, you know, for something in 3x or something, because I'm pretty sure everybody is listening to make even a better product.
Cheeky invented to name the API SLF4j and implementation logback. We didn't do that, so people have this log4j trademark and they think, yeah, this must be linked. Besides, there is the same group of people that works on the API and the implementation, so we can take shortcuts, add the helper functions to the API that will help us in implementations. I think if we change the name, it could be more popular.
Log for API, maybe. Just kidding, I don't know.
You know, I will say one thing again about Log4Shell. It happened right before Thanksgiving where we got this email. We were all merrily going around our business, and then all of a sudden we get this and we look at it, and none of us really realized how serious it was when we first saw it. I think it took us about a week to realize this is really terrible. And in fact, it wasn't until we went and did the CVSS score and it came out of 10 that we realized how bad it was. The thing was, is once we got it and we realized how serious it was, and this only took a day or two for us to realize it was a bad bug. the whole team jumped in, and even guys who had been relatively dormant started popping up and offering to help in whatever way they can or could. We actually started using Slack more because we wanted to have discussions that were completely private, which Slack guarantees that private channels can't be eavesdropped on. So that's not a plug for them, but it is a case where we take security seriously, and we didn't even want other ASF members necessarily listening in on our discussions regarding what was going on and how to fix it. Because the last thing we wanted was for the public to find out about it, which unfortunately they managed to do anyway. In that regard, I think it actually even made the team closer. And obviously it helped to bring more people in, more activity to the project. I mean, it's probably the first time any security people actually looked at the code, because we immediately got four or five other bugs pointed out to us that we then corrected after that. Of course, none were nearly as severe, but they were all very greatly appreciated. And I hope that security people are still continuing to scan and look at it, because that's, you know, we don't know if anyone's looking at it for that purpose unless they actually tell us they're doing it. The other thing I'd like to point out is several of us, although we can't take advantage of the program from Vulcan and Christian and Peter are in, we can take advantage of GitHub sponsorship, because there's no ties to that. That's just basically saying thank you for your involvement. That's greatly appreciated for anybody doing that. And in fact, there were some significant sponsors who came forward and gave us some support after that. And it was greatly appreciated. Many of us left our daytime jobs aside so we could work on this 24/7, and all of our employers were very, very supportive of it. And so for that, we all can say thank you both to our employers and to the public who did support us through that. And it was greatly appreciated. You know, we'll take support from anybody, anytime, you know, because it's nice to have people say thank you. Let's put it that way.
Yeah. I mean, back then, it was a time that suddenly people stopped sleeping, I think, and they were just, as Ralph mentioned, people were just coming back from wherever they were. They have seen there's a problem, they came back, and I know specifically one person who I think he worked the whole night on something, and he did not sleep, I mean, it's crazy. So when you talk to other people, outsiders of the Apache Software Foundation, they all think, okay, this is only open source. They probably have not done a thing or went to vacation for this or something. But in fact, the opposite is true. They were all working really, really, really hard. And I think this is proof that models like the Apache Software Foundation actually work. And I know we have projects which are not running well or something, but this project, at least, it's different. And as Ralph mentioned, we have had so many security reviews. So when I hear somebody say, oh, Log4j had this Log4Shell issue, it's probably not so secure, then I can only laugh, because now we have all these security researchers looking very, very closely and telling us what to fix and what to do. And if they overlooked something, I can totally rely on a team of, like, let's say 10 people or so, who are ready to stop the day jobs for a while, fix the bugs, come together and just work hand in hand. After that while, probably to go away again, do something else. But in that time of emergency, we all come together, and I'm pretty sure this will be for the next 10 years or 20 years or 30 years. So I guess it makes Log4j a safe bet to rely on.
Yeah, we have also contingency in the community. So we have very old committers, old in the sense of people that joined 20 years ago. We have people that joined. I joined last year. Volkan joined 3 or 4 years ago. So we have a continuous supply of people. there is no risk like in other projects which don't follow the Apache style, where someone just retires and okay, sorry, this software is no longer available. We probably will have every couple of years a new committer that takes over where other left.
Thank you all so much for your time and for sharing this insight on the last 20 years. And we look forward to the next 20 years of this project. We wish you lots of luck. For those that are watching and listening, if you want to get involved in this project, you just need to go to logging.apache.org and see what projects are available there and just dig in. So thank you again.
Thank you very much.
Thanks very much.
Let's talk in 10 years again, probably.
All right.
All right.